Chapter 24, Highway Patrol. Words: abruptly, acquaintance, all right, antenna, badly damaged, bird, bought, break, came, chase, chief, connected, constantly, criminal, crosshairs, customer, dark, dashboard, decide, drive, drop off, drop, escaped, evident, example, execution, flashing light, fled, hang, highway, hold on, impossible, lamppost, license plate, light, lower, model, neck, nerve, on duty, operation, painted, photo, played, principal, recommend, remember, reported, risk, roof, rushed, sale, sales clerk, salesman, sang, seen, shelf, snow, stare, story, swear, tank, two-story, uncertainly, usual, violated, weeping. Highway Patrol. Another month passed. Paul Rost returned to his usual business. The police asked for his help sometimes when they didn't have enough people. Once he was on duty on the road that connected the city with a military airfield. It was evening and already started to get dark. There were almost no cars on the road. Somewhere birds sang. The first stars began to appear in the sky. Suddenly, it began to snow. Paul got out of the car and lit a cigarette. He looked at the ring that Lisa gave him. He stood there and smoked, and the snow fell slowly on his hair. The radio in the car began to speak. Attention, all stations. A white car crashed into a lamppost and fled the scene. After some time, a white car drove by. Very loud music played in the car. Paul had time to notice that the car was badly damaged and that something lay on top of it. He got into his car, put a flashing light on the roof, and drove after the white car. He caught up with the white car and stopped it. A man came out of the white car. He stood uncertainly, and Rost realized that the man was drunk. The man smiled and handed Rost his documents. "How are you, officer?" he asked. Paul looked at the car and could not believe his eyes. On top of the car lay a lamppost. "Thank you, I'm fine," Paul said. "What is that on top of the car?" Rost pointed to the lamppost. The man stared at the post for a long time, and then said, "It was there when I bought this car, I swear." He looked at Rost. "I think it's an antenna for a GPS. Do you use GPS, officer? Great thing, I highly recommend it." He held on to the car with his hand to keep from falling. Paul Rost took the man to the police station. At the police station, they asked Rost to help a group of policemen who were looking for two men who had escaped from prison. The alarm went off in one of the stores, and Rost went there with one of the police officers. When they arrived at the store, there were a few customers there and a sales clerk. The sales clerk was Bruno, Paul Rost's acquaintance. "Good afternoon. Your alarm went off," the policeman said. "Good afternoon. An alarm went off? At our place?" the sales clerk asked. "Yes, at your place," the policeman replied. No, this is some kind of mistake. Bruno looked at Roast. Everything is all right here. Paul, I want to give you the gift that I promised you. My friend, take that blue box on the shelf, Bruno asked. What is it, Bruno? Paul said in surprise. Go ahead, open it. I think you'll like it, the sales clerk smiled. Paul went to the shelf and took the blue box. Yellow flowers were painted on the box. Paul looked at Bruno in surprise. Bruno looked at him in silence. Paul opened the box and took out a woman's dress. The dress was blue with yellow flowers. What is that? Paul was surprised again. This is a woman's dress, my friend, the salesman replied. For your wife. Bruno smiled. But I'm not married. Paul did not understand. Well, today you're not married, and the next day you might get married, Bruno said seriously. Life. It's not a simple thing. For example, now I'm well, and in 5 minutes something bad might happen, the sales clerk said. I'll take it later. Thank you. Paul put the box with the dress back on the shelf and left the store. The policeman went out with Paul. They got into the car and drove back to the police station. Roast looked closely at photos of the escaped criminals. They were driving on the road that passes the airfield. They escaped from a prison that's located 300 miles away from here. Why are they looking for them here? Roast asked. One of them has a wife and a son here. His name is Arthur Stravinsky. They escaped from prison last week, and 3 days ago the wife and child disappeared, the policeman said. Why are they doing time? Roast asked. Arthur Stravinsky is doing time for an armed bank robbery. It was a long story. Even the papers reported it, the policeman continued. His child needed to have an expensive operation. He robbed the bank to pay for the operation. Then there was a chase, and during the chase, one of the police cars overturned. The policeman was killed. The policeman looked at Roast. Of course, they gave him a life sentence. That's the story, he concluded. So we're looking for the whole family, Paul said. He paused, then added, Look, I need to make it to the doctor today. Can you drop me off around here somewhere? Roast asked. Oh, come on. That's how it starts. Going to the doctor, getting sick, and you think that I want to look for him? The policeman looked at Paul. Paul didn't have time to answer because the policeman abruptly hit the brakes. There is a blue Ford over there, the policeman said. His wife has a blue Ford with this model. We need to check it. Come with me. The policeman looked at Roast. They got out of the car and walked to the blue Ford. The car was empty. The police officer checked the license plate number on the radio. The number was fake. The policeman called for reinforcement. They may be in there. The policeman pointed to a big hangar. They went into the hangar. There were several small planes there. There were people in one of them. The policeman pointed out the plane to Roast, pulled out a gun, and went to the other side. Roast also took out a gun and walked from the other side to the airplane with the people inside. But then he saw a boy's face in the window of another aircraft. Roast slowly walked up to the plane and opened the door. Arthur Stravinsky sat there, along with his wife and child. The man was trying to start the plane, but he raised his hands when he saw that Roast was holding a gun. Roast looked at them carefully for a long time. Then he looked at the dashboard and started the plane's engine. Don't waste time, he told the man. The man slowly put his hands on the plane's dashboard. Then the airplane began to move toward the door of the hangar. The policeman rushed to the plane, shooting on the move. Paul Roast threw himself on the policeman and fell with him to the ground. You can kill them all if you hit the gas tank, Paul cried to the policeman. The policeman pointed his gun to Roast's face and shot. It's all over. Put your hands up and get off the plane, Roast heard the voice of the policeman. Paul, get away from the plane and keep it in your crosshairs. Paul Roast was still standing by the plane, pointing his gun at the man in the airplane when the policeman came up behind him. Paul didn't move away from the plane. He stood and looked at the child and his father. The boy went up to his father and put his arms around his neck, staring at Roast.
"Dad, what does this man want?"
he asked his father. Arthur Stravinsky looked at Roast without lowering hands. He couldn't get off the plane because Roast was standing right next to the door.
"Roast, get away from the plane immediately," the policeman shouted. "Dad, what does this man want?"
the boy asked again. The man looked at Roast and the policeman without dropping his hands. It was evident that he was afraid that the policeman would shoot. He wanted to get out, but Roast was standing right next to the door and didn't move away.
"Roast, get away from the plane immediately," the officer repeated.
Roast looked at the dashboard and started the airplane's engine.
"Detective Paul Roast, put the gun down and step away from the plane,"
the policeman shouted and shot into the air.
"Don't waste time," Roast shouted and shut the plane door.
He dropped his gun on the ground, turned to the policeman, and raised his hands.
"You want to arrest me? Go ahead," Roast said to the policeman.
The plane drove toward the door of the hangar, but at that point, a large group of police officers and police cars appeared near the exit. They blocked the way of the airplane. The man stopped the airplane so as not to risk the life of his child and wife. He got off the plane, but the child was hanging onto his neck. His wife went up to him and began to take the child off his neck. The child began to cry. Paul turned away so as not to see or hear it all. He walked out of the hangar. The police chief walked up to Roast.
"So, Detective Roast, is there something wrong with your nerves? You know that I have to arrest you for helping a criminal."
He looked at Paul.
"Tomorrow morning, you will come in and give a report," he said and walked away from Paul.
They took Arthur Stravinsky out of the hangar in order to put him in the police car. He saw his wife and son. He stood near the hangar. Suddenly, he realized that he will never see them again. He looked at them and couldn't take his eyes off them. His eyes were like the eyes of a madman. Then he began to shout,
"Remember me! Remember me!" he shouted to them. "Son, remember me! Remember me, son! And you, Mary, remember me! Remember me the way I am now! Do not forget me! Never forget me!"
The policeman put him in the car, but he continued to scream like a madman. Paul Roast constantly looked at the man. The car drove away, and the weeping woman and boy were left behind. Roast drove home. When he walked up to his house, he saw Peter Ashour in one of the cars.
"How are you, Paul?" Ashour said when Roast came up to him.
Roast stopped and looked at Ashour.
"I thought you'd be interested to know," Ashour continued, lighting a cigarette, "that Lisa Pandora is in Mizay prison in Syria. She is waiting for her execution."
Ashour looked Paul in the eyes.
"Why aren't you with her?" Paul asked.
"As usual, she has violated the terms of our agreement. And, as you know, I am a man of principle. I gave her the freedom to do what she wants."
Ashour looked back at Roast. "You know as well as I do that if she decides something, it's impossible to stop her."
"How long does she have?" Roast asked.
"Maybe a day, and maybe a month. Who knows?"
Ashour said, and drove on. New vocabulary review. Could you tell me, is today still March, or is it April already?
Today is March 31st. Tomorrow is April 1st.
Could you tell me, what time is it?
Let me look at my phone.
It is 10:30.
Thank you.
By the way, is it cold outside?
It is foggy out there, but not very cold.
Give me a car as a present.
No.
You're strange today, dear.
No, I'm normal today, dear, but I won't give you money for a new car.
A new car is very important for me. Give it to me as a present.
It isn't important for me at all. I won't give it to you.
You know, your antenna doesn't get all the channels, dear.
And you are missing a few buttons on the control panel, my dear.
My car's gas tank is empty.
Where do you want to go, dear?
To the beauty parlor, darling. You are very beautiful as you are. I haven't been there since last Sunday. But today is only Tuesday. Should I never go to the beauty salon?
All right, you can take the bus.
Did you marry me so I'd take the bus?
I married you because I liked you a lot.
So now you don't like me anymore.
Take the money and go wherever you want.
Thank you, darling.
Don't turn on the light.
No need to take a risk. They could see from the street that there is someone at the bank.
Look, a car with flashing lights hit the brakes next to the bank.
This is a police patrol.
Quiet. Get away from the window or they'll notice you.
Two police officers got out of the car.
Where are they going?
They came up to our car and are looking at it closely.
Did you park it correctly?
Of course. I didn't break the rules. Although it's true, the lamppost fell on another car.
Strange, but I barely hit it, I swear.
I'll climb on the roof and you go to them.
Why?
Write a report about the incident, you idiot.
The bus driver dropped off the passengers before filling up the gas tank.
Why did the passengers stay behind and the bus return to the bus station without them?
The driver forgot to let them back on after filling up the gas tank.
He should go back. The passengers are waiting for him.
Your car crashed into mine.
That's because you hit the brakes quickly.
No, it's because you weren't paying attention.
But it's impossible to brake right away. Do you understand?
Write it in a report about the incident.
Why did the police lookout post block the road?
They are looking for thieves who robbed a bank.
How much money did the criminals steal?
They say they didn't steal the money, but they damaged several cars in the parking lot during the chase.
Remember, dear, you should drive when the light is green and brake when it's red. Understand?
Of course I understand, my dear.
Well, am I driving well?
Yes, great job.
You see, dear, you have a great girl.
Brake!
Oh!
You crashed into a car.
Why didn't the red light turn green? After all, I didn't hit the brakes.
Sit in the passenger seat.
What about learning to drive the car, my dear?
Forget it, dear.
Today I will be on duty in the prison until nighttime, my dear.
So today we can steal prison food.
Exactly. Be at the prison exit at 12 o'clock.
Remember.
I remember, dear.
What will we steal?
3 tons of bread and a ton of salt.
Wow, that's a lot.
Today you will see the sky in diamonds, dear, I swear.
The boss said that we should carry this red box back to the exit immediately.
But this box is green and not red.
And the exit is here and not there.
In our company, the boss is always right. Remember that.
And it is better to never ask twice.
Sales clerk, please give me some salt.
Here, take it.
Thank you.
Customer, you gave me fake bills.
That can't be.
Look, the paint is coming off on my hands.
The Xerox machine in our office is probably not working well.
The police officer over here will send you a 5-year course on how to work with a Xerox machine.
After that, you will know how, and more importantly, what you can print on a Xerox machine.
Do you know how to use a computer?
Of course.
Teach me, please.
You always have to use these 4 arrow keys or this big button.
And if something is incorrect,
then use this button in the corner.
Thank you.
Are the terms of our cooperation suitable for you?
Yes, all except one of the terms is suitable.
Except which of the terms exactly?
It doesn't suit me that I have to do everything carefully and on time.
And how do you want to do it?
I could make mistakes, and I need more time.
How much time do you want?
The more, the better.